Now, with your Bible open, let me read now. Proverbs 15, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Now, I'm sure that the one that comes to your mind at this particular point is Abigail and Nabal. Abigail, a very beautiful, lovely wife and woman, and Nabal, her husband, a fool, but a very rich man. Someone has written a book called Beauty and the Beast, and it's the story of Nabal and Abigail. Our Abigail is the beauty and Nabal is the beast. And you will recall, again, we've seen several proverbs that are applicable to them in particular. You will recall that Abigail, when she heard that her husband had sent an insulting answer to David, who had in kindness and consideration had taken care of the flocks of this man, why, then this girl, this wife, she has the servants get together a great deal of food, and she starts out to meet David. And when she sees him, she goes down upon her face before him and bows before him. She recognizes him as a king, and she speaks of the fact that his life was bound up in the bundle of life with God. What a beautiful, wonderful thing that was. She gave a soft answer, and it did turn away wrath, but we are told grievous words stir up anger. And certainly that was true in the life of these two. Now, you find other illustrations of that as you go through the Word of God. You find that the Lord Jesus now uses the strongest language in the Scripture. You find that, for instance, in the time that he gave that denunciation of the Pharisees in the 23rd of Matthew. That's probably the harshest language in the Bible. That doesn't mean that there isn't a time that it needs, as the old saying is, to put it on the line. And he certainly could do that. But notice how gracious he could be to those that needed the grace of God, that poor woman in sin. Neither do I condemn thee, but go and sin no more. What a gracious thing that was. And you will find in the Word of God, again and again, illustrations of this in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. You find that many gave a very gracious, soft answer. And then there are times when it needs to be strong. But now we come to the second verse, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Now here we are back again to the tongue. And I want to repeat again a thing I've said before. I say again, I know I'll say it when we get to the little epistle of James, that there's more said about the abuse of the tongue than there is about the abuse of alcohol. Now, that doesn't mean that we command alcohol. I think that the greatest curse of this country right now is not dope, drugs. I think the greatest curse is alcohol, because today they point the finger at the man that is a drug addict. But the alcoholic, he's sick, and he needs help, and he certainly does. And it's not considered a sin today to be an alcoholic or to be a drunkard. And the Word of God makes it very clear that there's nothing quite as bad as that. But yet, even above that is this use and abuse of the tongue. It's something that can make you, well, it gives you away. And it tells who you are. And it explains a great deal. I have a book. We're not offering it now. We will when we get to the Epistle of James. And the title of the book is startling, but it's a scriptural title, Hell on Fire. What is it? Well, it's the tongue. It's a dangerous little instrument. And we'll be talking about that when we get to James. But there's so much said about it here in the book of Proverbs.